Good morning. This morning that we have here today is set aside for the young men to be able to give a portion of God's word. And the topic this morning is unity. The world today is wrought with so many different beliefs and ideals, and there's so much constant strife in the world about differing ideas, differing thoughts, to the point that people are being persecuted for just thinking differently. And not having the ability to express their own ideas or thoughts, and are shamed into thinking certain ways and not the ways that they should be. Thankfully, as Christians, we have an opportunity to be united under Christ. We have a common set of beliefs. There are many different things that we can use to point to this unity, but I want us to turn to Ephesians chapter 4 real quick, and we'll look at this before we turn the lesson over this morning to the kids. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 1, and we'll go to verse 3. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul tells us in this passage to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And that's the unity that we have as Christians. And this unity that we have is a blessing, but it's also a responsibility. And our young men will be able to tell us more about this unity here in the next few minutes. So, Cass, we'll start out with you.
Hey, I'm talking about unity and service. Good morning. Today we're going to talk about unity and service. As we start, I think it'll be helpful to establish a framework for the discussion by looking at a couple works that Christians are instructed to do. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus tells his disciples to make disciples of all the nations. We see similar instructions from Jesus in Luke 16:15. Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We see from these two passages that one of the fundamental missions of a Christian and of the church is to tell others about Jesus. Another critical work for Christians can be found in Hebrews 10:24-25, which says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." The point I want to focus on for this discussion is how Christians need to encourage each other. We can talk about other works for Christians to perform, but I think these two can encompass most, if not all, of the services that Christians should be doing. Now that we know that Christians need to tell each other about Jesus and that Christians need to help each other obey, we can look at what unity in service means. It does not mean that everyone must do exactly the same activities. In fact, Paul pointed this out in Corinthians when he rebuked them for being divided. Corinthians 3:5-9 talks about how both Paul and Apollos worked together to strengthen the Corinthians. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God gives the increase. Now he who plants and who waters are one, and each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. We are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, you are God's building. There are a few important points to take away regarding the unity and service that Paul teaches us in this passage. First, we learn in verse 8 that both Paul and Apollos are one. So to be unified in service, everyone must work toward the same goal. Paul and Apollos are working to spread God's word to strengthen other Christians in their service to God. We also see this from the passage that Paul and Apollos did different activities in their service. Even though they are called out, verse 6 says, Paul planted and Apollos watered. There are multiple reasons why Christians perform different services. In this case, it looks like it was due to the contract that Paul had with the Corinthians. From the examples Paul uses, it appears that Paul had the first opportunity to teach them. Apollos finds them later and sees that they need strengthening, possibly through teaching and explanation, possibly by encouraging them as they face challenges. We'll look at another reason for Christians to perform different actions of service. And however, before we do, I want to look at one more thing that we learn about our service in this passage. Verse 7 tells us that neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters is anything, but God gives the increase. Sometimes we may be tempted to compare the value of each person's to rank who is best. We learn that no one is more important than another. Only God and our services to God is important. This is incredibly important for us to remember. Trying to rank our value among each other can easily lead to the loss of souls. Now we can talk about another reason for each person to perform different actions in unified service to God. We find in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is correcting the Corinthians for the divisions that they created. The context of this chapter is spiritual gifts, but the instructions he gives are applicable in service to God. It would be good to read the whole chapter, but due to its length, we'll only look at select verses. I encourage you to go back and read the entire chapter. Let's start with verses 12 through 14. For as the body is one, has many members, but all the members of the one body, being many, are one body also in Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, all have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, no body is one member, but many. A person's body is a great example of unity. Every part of the body must work together, or the body will fail. Building on this example, we could talk about what happens to the human body when the immune system doesn't work in unity with the rest of the body. It starts to attack itself, and without special medicine to stop the immune system, it can kill the rest of the body. So each member of the body must do its important part to maintain the health of the body overall. Paul also teaches us that each member of the body is critical for the role that it plays. In verse 17, we read, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? Each member of the body does something different, but each member is required for the body to be effective. So, going back to the question of why do different actions of service while being unified? We see that each member has different strengths to be most effective. Each member is needed because the members bring different strengths to the unified service. Paul later makes the application to the members of the church body in verses 27 through 30. As a note, before we read the verses, remember that Paul wrote about this while the spiritual gifts were still around, so some of the positions he mentioned are no longer applicable. The verses say, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Applying this to the topic of unity and service, we see that each member works toward the same goal of telling others about Jesus and encouraging Christians to continue growing in service of God. Each member has their own talent that combines with everyone else's to contribute to achieve the goal. So as we consider unity and service to God, let's remember that we all have the same goal of telling others about Jesus and encouraging Christians to mature in Christ. This is the foundation of our unity.
Good morning. We will talk about worship and how we unite in it for a few minutes. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 3. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to that one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is all and through all, and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. There is only one God. Every Sunday, we come to unite with our Father. I want to look at 5 points today, the 5 acts of worship. Number 1, singing. Please turn a few pages over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. This passage tells us that when we sing, we are not only singing to God, but to one another. Please turn to Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Us singing praises to God means that we're in unity, we're in fellowship with him. If we also sing to and with others, we're in unity. It doesn't matter if you're good or bad at singing. We all sing praises to our Heavenly Father. The second point I want to make is prayer. Please turn your Bibles to, well, you don't have to turn it because it's so short. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. I'll read that real quick. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. We should not stop praying. Please turn your Bibles to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. James chapter 5, 13 through 16. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let him pray over you, him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith which saves the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is in great power as it is working. God always answers prayers, whether it's a yes or no. God knows what is best for us. Always trust God. When we pray for one another. We pray for the sick and the ones who are out of town. Those who are struggling as well, we also pray. Please turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 30. Romans 15, 30. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of our spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. Paul is asking the Romans to be unified in their prayers for his work. There is a great power when we band together and pray for a common need. The third point I want to make is giving. Please turn your Bibles to Acts 4. Acts 4, verse 32 through 35. Acts 4, 32 through 35. Now the full number of those who believed were all of one heart and soul, and no one said it that any of these things belonged to him was his own. But they had everything in common, and with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a great grace was given upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of the land or households sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each one as any had need. They all came and shared their belongings. Those who were rich did not put themselves above those who were poor, but they were all together. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 through 2 says, Now considering the collections for the saints, as I directed the church of Galatia, so you are also to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up, as he may prosper, that there will be no collecting. As Christians, we put our money together so we can achieve a common goal we wouldn't be able to achieve on our own. Number four is preaching. Please turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching in the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and their prayers. The early Christians spent time together listening to the apostles preach the word of God. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13 tells us, And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building of the body of Christ, until you all attain the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. God's word is one of the main things that unifies us together as Christians. God wants us to have the unity of faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. You can find that in Romans 10, 17. The last point I want to make is the Lord's Supper. Please turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 through 17. 1 Corinthians 10, 16, 17. The cup of blessing that we bless, are we nor sharing the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, are we not sharing in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, who are many of one body, for we all partake of that one bread. When we take part of the Lord's Supper, we are in fellowship with Christ's body, blood, and one another. Please flip a few pages to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 33. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Jesus said to partake of the Lord's Supper in remembrance of him. We are all coming at the same time, same place, to remember the most important event in history as Christians. Stay in that chapter and look at verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. When we partake as a group, we proclaim Christ died for us and is coming again. Please turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. No matter who or what we are, we are all one in Christ. Unity makes us not feel alone, but comforted that we have a spiritual family that we can worship with. Worship is one of the primary ways God gives us to strengthen unity with other Christians. We should not take that for granted. Thank you for your time this morning.
Good morning. Please turn to John chapter 17, verse 20 through 23. John chapter 17, verse 20 through 23. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me, though they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the Lord may believe that you sent me. In the glory which you gave me, I have given them, and that they may be one. One just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Today I will be talking about unity in Christ. Jesus wants us to be one with him and God the Father. If we are one with Jesus and the Father, we would be complete. The unity with Christ is made complete with God's love for us. Jesus wants us to be one with him and God. Please turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 5. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 5. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Christ wants us to be one with him by choosing to obey God's will. Please turn your Bibles to Hebrews 13, verses 20 through 21. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 through 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. God gave his son to die on the cross, and through shedding his blood, we can have the opportunity to be rewarded by going to heaven. To do that, we need to heal, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, and live faithfully unto death. When we choose to obey, we become part of God's family and part of a local congregation of like-minded people. Some things we some Some things we can do with that local family to stay united with Christ are assembling together, praying, singing, worshiping, and taking the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. It can be hard in the world we live in to keep our focus on heaven, but when we unite with those who have the same goal, it reminds us that we are not doing this alone. Let's talk about God's love for us. Unity with Christ is made complete with God's love for us. God loves us so much that he gave his only son. Let's look at John 3:16 and Romans 5:8. First we'll look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now please turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we show love to others by doing good for others, it is like we are doing good things to Christ himself. Please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25, verse 34 through 40. Matthew 25, verse 34 through 40. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? Or when did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. We know God is love, and when we choose to follow his word in love, God abides in us as we abide in him. As 1 John 4:16 tells us. Today we have looked at how we are united in Christ and his death. When we choose to obey God's word, we are made complete when we make this decision because of God's love for us. We can apply this to our lives by trying to be Christ-like, even when it's hard to do. We can lean on God's word and each other to better ourselves and help each other be strong. Thank you for your time and attention.
So first off, I want to thank the young men for their amazing portions of the sermon that they have provided. They did an excellent job. And for little bits and bobs that I sent over, they did a great job taking the little pieces of direction that I had and coming up with a very cohesive element of each portion of the lesson. As I said in the beginning this morning, the unity that we have is a blessing, but it's also a responsibility. And I think each one of the young men this morning did an excellent job of bringing that to light. Kaz, talking about the parts of the body, every element of our bodies have to move forward in the same direction in order to function appropriately. Micah, with worship, we're all worshiping together through the five acts of worship, as he mentioned. And Gavin, coming together with the whole thing, we're made complete through Christ. That unity that we have with each other as Christians and wearing Christ's name in that is something that we have to take with extreme care and caution and the utmost respect as we live our lives and as we deal with one another. I do want to focus again one more time, if you would, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll finish out the passage here. It was already read for us by Micah, but I want to bring it again to attention for us before we close. Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Blaine, would you mind leading us in a closing prayer?
Dear God, thank you for this day we can come here and worship you and your son tonight, I mean today. And thank you for the food, shelter, and the pets. And thank you for these people that give us the lesson and so we can learn more about it. And please help us travel to destination safely. And please help the sick ones to be better. In Jesus' name, amen.